take our Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The title of the message is A Marriage That Is Biblical. A Marriage That Is Biblical. I know we are usually in the book of Philippians on Sunday mornings. It's not very often that we get away from it, from where we're at in the Bible. Well, this morning we will. We'll look at a biblical marriage. Let's read these scriptures, and then we'll come back and go through these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. If you write beside your Bibles or in your Bible, you can put here, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. That loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May the Lord help us today. These, as I mentioned earlier, can be very hard scriptures. Very hard scriptures. I do a lot of marriage counseling. Most of us are over the phone, I'm sad to say. But I do a lot of marriage counseling. And when I counsel with people, I give scripture. I've counseled with couples before where I go home and I'll tell my wife, I think it was a good counseling session. I never tell her what we counseled about because I don't share. You can ask her. I don't share stuff. I said, but I think that was a good counseling session. And sometimes what I see is not what's going on the inside, because there's been times that's happened and within 3 weeks both husband and wife are fighting mad at me, running me down, and telling me I'm destroying their marriage because of the counsel I give them. And what it is hard. Scripture, as we learned this morning, is revealing us. Amen. It's like a microscope. It shows us where we are in error. It shows us what we need to do to fix these things. And it's hard. Teaching and preaching on marriage is very hard. And that is also why I beg God to help me to make sure that I teach these things in love. Listen, because again, as I said, it's hard. One of the first things I tell people in marriage counseling, whether it's premarital counseling, and listen, everybody needs premarital counseling. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've been brought up in a pastor's home or a harlot's home. I don't care. You need premarital counseling. And let me add this. Everyone in here needs marriage counseling. Everybody. That includes me. And my wife. And listen, I give her counseling all the time. Amen. And I'm joking when I say that. But I also need marriage counseling, as do my wife. Because you know why? What we all need? We need help. And our help comes from the Lord, from the Scriptures. For some couples, marriage is one of the greatest blessings in their lives. And I'd have to say, for my wife and I, it is. Amen. And the older we get, the sweeter it gets. I know I work away sometimes, and I don't want to make this about me and my wife, but there's times I have to work away, and I hate it. This may seem crazy to some of you men, but I'll bring pellets from my house, and I go stay at the rent house in Belchase, so I can smell my house. Amen. When I'm trying to go to sleep. And I like it when my wife sleeps on those pillows, because then I can smell her. Amen. When I'm trying to go to sleep. And I want to come home. And she wants me to come home. I told y'all the other day when I put up in the yard, I was going for one night. One night. She ran out the door and just hugged me and kissed me and glad I was there. Her dad was leaving and she didn't even pay no attention to Mr. Gerald leaving. Her focus was on me. Amen. And I was glad. I wasn't paying attention to him leaving either. I was watching Toya. Amen. So, for some, it is a great blessing. But in reality, for others, it seems like it's their greatest curse. And then there are those who are in between the blessings and the cursings there, who are just kind of going through the motions. So the question is, where are you in your marriage? Where are you at in your marriage? And then here's another question, why are you there? Why are you there? So Lord willing, today we will look at a marriage according to the Scriptures. And when the Scriptures are obeyed, everyone reaps the benefits. And when the Scriptures are obeyed, it is beneficial. What is certain, if you're taking notes, and if you, take mental notes, what is certain, you cannot control anyone else. You cannot. You cannot control your spouse. You cannot make someone else do right. You cannot make someone else be the best spouse in the world. The only person you can control is yourself. You can do right. You can be the best spouse in the world. Even if you think you have the worst spouse in the world, you can still be the best spouse in the world. If the husband and the wife are striving to be biblical, they will reap from these labors. It may take time. It will take time. It takes much effort. It takes God's grace. So let's see what the Bible says about these things. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The word submitting in this verse means to submit oneself, to be subject, to be obedient. To keep this in context, let's back up to verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Which just means, you are controlled by the Spirit. Let me clarify. When the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit, often we view a cup being filled up with something, right? The word filled there can be misleading. It means to be controlled by the Spirit. Because we don't get more of the Holy Spirit than what we already have. Amen. He is living inside of us. So, this is in verses 19 and 20 and 21 and on down, really to the end of the chapter, end of chapter 6, is showing us the result of someone who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the actions of someone who are being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 21 also says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the church. This is also incorporated into a marriage relationship that Christ uses here. When I say Christ, why would I say Christ? Because every word of God is inspired. by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know Paul was the pen that wrote it, but it's inspired by God. So we are to submit ourselves one to another in the church, obviously, right? But also in our marriages. Submit. Again, I want to read this. I mean, to submit oneself, to be subject, to be obedient to. And when we are, we see the results through chapter 6, verse 9, talking about husbands, wives, children with their parents, and servants and masters. And it goes on talking about putting on the whole armor of God. So, in looking at husband and wife, the husband and the wife are to be subject to one another. They are to submit to the needs of each other. He is to treat her like his queen. Husbands, you hear me? Treat her like she is your queen. Wives, you are to treat him like he is your king. Now here's where the difference is. Husbands, you don't think of yourself as a king. And wives, you don't think of yourself as a queen. You don't think of, listen, I know this may be kind of confusion, but if you say, I'm the queen or I'm the king, you got problems right there. You view yourself as a servant. You view yourself as one submitting to the needs of the other. And you view them, in a sense, in an exalted position, not yourself. You treat her as your queen. And ladies, you treat him as your king. This is how you are to treat each other. If you are treating each other like royalty, then you will both be serving one another. This means you will be meeting each other's needs. You will look for opportunity to please yourself, your spouse. Neither will be saying, you serve me, but instead they will be saying, how can I serve you? This is not being selfish. Let me ask you, are you living like this? Notice I didn't ask, are y'all living like this, did I? But are you living like this? Remember, you cannot control anyone else. You cannot control your spouse. How many of y'all would like to control your spouse? Raise your hand. He said, come here, sucker. Huh? I'm fixing to show you. How many of you wives just like in showing what a queen can do? How many of you want to holler off with his head? Huh? You can't do that, can you? And though you may desire that, you got to curb those unbiblical desires. Same as times that you want to just tell your wife to sit there and do what? Be quiet, men. Leave me alone. That's wrong, isn't it? There are ways we say things, obviously. Kind words, the Bible says, turns away wrath. And I'm not trying to make light of all this. This is realistic stuff, right? Are you living like this? Are you treating your spouse like a queen or a king? Say, well, he's not worthy to be treated like a king, or she's not worthy to be treated like a queen. No one is worthy. None of us are. Well, she did this or he did that. That's not what I asked you. Are you treating your spouse like a king or like a queen? Do you know what kind of queen she is? It don't matter. How you treating him? See, that's hard, isn't it? Because we want to say an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, don't we? We want to say, you want me to treat you good, then you better treat me good. And that's wrong. That is wrong. Lord, help us. So I'm not going to because they're not. And that's wrong. That's the case you missed the whole point. How are you treating your spouse? Remember, you cannot control other people. You cannot do it. Something else, this word here, submitting in verse 21, this does not come naturally to us. It does not. We naturally rebel. We naturally want to be served. We naturally place ourselves upon a pedestal saying, you will serve me. That's natural. You go back to the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. Her desire was for her husband, the Bible says. That don't mean that she was wanting to lift him up and serve him. That meant that she wanted to rule over him. How quick that took place. At the moment of the fall. Listen, ladies, that's in you. You want to rise up and you want to say, in a sense, I'm the king of this house. You'll listen to what I say. And the husband wants to rise up and say, no, I'm the king. You can't be the king. You got to be the queen. And before you know, you have a battle of kingdoms. And this battle, this competition, please hear me, destroys marriage. It destroys. It does not build. In serving each other, we must also strive for each other. This means we are not in competition with each other. This means we hold each other up. We're not striving against each other. We're striving for each other. We're looking for opportunity to serve. We want to serve. We want to please our spouse. We encourage each other. We're on the same team. We pray with and for each other. And listen, this is very important. We also quickly forgive each other. Quickly. I could say often, but that goes without saying, doesn't it? I mean, when I say quickly, I should say immediately. Please hear me. If you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, it may start out small like an acorn, but it's going to grow into a live oak, a huge one. It's going to grow into hatred. It's going to cause you to have no feelings. And you will be the most miserable person in the world. Forgive. Forgive. When doing marriage counseling, often the root of the problem is unforgiveness. And what's crazy, it often can go back to something very, very simple. Now, sometimes it's major. But sometimes it goes back to something very simple. Something that he may have said, or something that she may have said, that made them angry. And from that point forward, that root of bitterness begins to grow. And one starts eyeing the other, and without even realizing it, that bitterness is there. And they don't even know that it's growing, and they get more and more angry and angry. And then they begin to be very, very critical. Everything their spouse does. I can't believe he just burped at the table. Disrespectful guy he is. He ate 3 plates of food and didn't even tell me if he liked it or not. Actions speak louder than words. Or He could say, I don't even know if she loves me. She slaved in this kitchen all day long, served me this meal, and rushed off to go do something else. Begin to be very critical. Now, when we are critical, listen, we're exalting ourselves. That's what we're doing. Basically, we're saying, I wouldn't be like you. You're wrong. I'm your king. I'm your queen. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. Folks, forgive. If you have an unforgiving heart, your marriage will come unraveled and it will be World War III. I go back to before I started pastoring, I had to confess a lot of things to my wife, and I will not go into it. I don't like bringing those things back up. Amen. But I had to go to her and confess. Now, we had been married for I don't know how many years. I was already saved. I was already preaching. The Lord already saved my soul. But there's things I had done before the Lord saved my soul that I had never told her about. And in my mind, I wanted a clear slate. You know, people say everybody's got skeletons in their closet. I didn't want that. I'll give you some examples of why. Because I knew I was going to be pastoring amongst people I knew my whole life, that knew things about me that my wife did not. And I don't want nobody coming to her saying, did you know that he used to do this or he used to do that or whatever it was. Mm-mm. So I went to her and I confessed everything. That was hard. Hard. Let me tell you, folks, I won't go into detail, but she had grounds for divorce. It was very harsh. And for a while, you could tell it was hard. It put a great strain on us. But do you know what she did? She had to forgive. And she did. Do you know what that's done for our marriage? Toy, has that helped our marriage? All our forgiveness? Yes. Did it hurt? You better believe it. Was it painful? Oh, it was just like your heart was just ripped out and shredded to pieces. Did it make us sick? Yes. Did it seem like it was the end? It could have, but thank God for Christ. Thank God for grace and for mercy and for forgiveness. We are never more like our Lord and Savior than when we forgive somebody else. Listen, folks, forgive quickly. Unforgiveness will cause you to say and do things that you will regret later. You won't strive for one another. And you won't submit to each other. Here's what's sad. Unforgiveness is driving a wedge between the husband and the wife. And this wedge that is driven can only be driven by you. And each time you drive it, it hurts you. So, oh no, but she's driving it. Nope. But he's driving it. Nope. Mm-mm. You're driving it. Because of unforgiveness. Only you can drive your own wedge. Remember, you cannot control other people. So what do? You pray that the Lord not only changes your spouse, but that He also changes you. Why? Because, listen, newsflash, you are not perfect. You're not the perfect spouse. No one in here is. Husband or wife. So we are to submit one to another. Notice this. Verse 21 says, in the fear of God. The word fear in this verse means the fear of God or the Lord, meaning a deep and reverential sense of accountability to God or Christ. Who holds us accountable? Christ does. Listen, we're not held accountable for other people's actions, are we? And the point I'm trying to stress here is that you do right. So, well, my wife does that. You're not held accountable for what she does. She is. Well, my husband does this. You're not held accountable for what he does. He is. You're held accountable for you. Do right. No one's perfect. Remember this to be subject one to one another. It means that we are meeting each other's needs by putting our needs last. Lord, help us. You know, something else, unforgiveness, yeah, is a big problem in marriage. But something else that's probably just the same, maybe even more, is a lack of communication. You watch a young couple who are courting, and if they don't communicate when they're dating, and they bring that into the marriage, if they stay married, it's going to be a marriage made in hell. It's going to be terrible. Got to communicate. Is anyone here a mind reader? Did anybody pass that class? No, you failed it, right? No one here is a mind reader. No one. Communicate. Is there a healthy communication? Yeah. You don't communicate by going up to someone, Brother Pat, and screaming at them. That's not communication. Right? Amen? The Bible says kind words do what? Turns away wrath. When you are frustrated, that's when you need grace even more to subdue your passions. Because once you get angry and you start letting it fly, there's going to be a lot of things come out of your mouth that you will regret. You'll hate. Communicate. Quickly, early. If your husband or your wife does something that offends you, you know what you should do? Pray about it first and foremost, right? But let them know in a nice way. I promise you, every time something that offends me, I'll let her know. Because I don't want her cooking it again. Here's the next thing. If we're working, if we're striving to serve one another, there's not much he's going to do that's going to offend me. Because what's love do? It covers a multitude of sin. Now, we talked about this morning, that most of what I'm saying this morning, y'all know. Y'all know these things. I thought it was a good point that Brother Jeremy brought up in Sunday school. How we can know these things and just y'all know. Let's listen. Let's take this to heart. Marriage is hard work. We've got to communicate. Also, the Bible gives us clear and distinct and direct instructions on our roles in the marriage. In the next 12 verses, by the way. And we won't be able to go through all of them, but we'll go through some of them. Look at verse 22. Wives, what are you supposed to do? Now, let's stop. Verse 22, in context, who's it written to? What's the first word? Wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So this is specific to wives. Submit is the same word from the previous verse in verse 21, but the same meaning means to submit oneself to be subject, to be obedient. Wives, listen. The Bible, your Lord and Savior, your God, commands you to submit yourselves unto your own husband. When the husband and wife are outside of their biblical roles, you will find problems in a marriage. Listen, ladies, if you're trying to lead your husband, if you're trying to lead your home, you will have trouble. It may not be right there, but it's coming. It's going to build. It's going to build. Listen, you will be frustrated and he will be frustrated. And all of a sudden it's going to come to a head and it's going to explode. And your marriage is going to fall to pieces. I heard a guy say this one time, divorce is the wreck of marriage. Divorce, the wreck of marriage. It's very important that all of us are obedient to the Word of God. There's been a push for over 100 years now in America for women to lead in the home and for the man to be submissive in this area. If you watch TV shows, you see it there. The man is made out to be stupid. That word may offend some people, but that's how it is. He's made out to be inferior to the woman. She seems to be the one who is leading the home in many areas, all areas sometimes. This is known as the movement by the feminists. It's a feminist movement. A role reversal. Matter of fact, I'll say this. If what I'm saying has just offended you, whether you're a man or a woman, then you have been influenced by the feminist movement. There is a biblical role for the husband and for the wife. We are taught that it is degrading for a woman to submit to her husband. Yet this is exactly what the scriptures say to do. To not do this means you're rebelling against God. And your marriage will show it. When you obey the scriptures, it is honoring and glorifying the Lord. This is what it means to do it as unto the Lord. You do it for His honor and for His glory. As obedience to Him, not your spouse. Do it for Jesus' sake. Why do it for Jesus' sake? Because He is worthy. Your spouse may not be worthy. More than likely, they're not worthy, okay? But Jesus is. So you lovingly submit. Again, this is not easy. It's anti-cultural. It's anti-world. It's beginning to be anti-church. Anti-church. So the Bible goes on to say, in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ladies, please hear me. This is not easy. Actually, this is contrary to everything that is in you. Everything about you hates this. That's natural. Amen. That is natural. And it's not good. This is why you're dependent upon the grace of the Lord to live for the Lord, to be obedient to the Scriptures. You cannot and you will not do this of your own power. But mark this down. If you are not submitting, then you are not treating Him as your King. You're not striving to serve Him. You're saying, I'm in charge. Yes, He should treat you like a queen, but at this point your mind is saying, I am the queen. And that should never be your mindset. Never. I look around and hear see one couple courting that should be getting married shortly. And I do pray that they will receive marriage counseling, premarital counseling. And though they've heard it their whole life, you get down in that counseling room and it gets personal. You start seeing things about each other. It is very beneficial. Everyone that I've ever done premarital counseling with has come back and said, thank you very much. Because things come up in their marriage, and it will. And they said, hey, we learned about this before we got married and how to deal with it. I can remember doing premarital counseling with my brother, Jeremiah, and his wife, Jennifer. And it took 3 to 4 months. This ain't just some one and done, okay? This takes months. And people, their friends were laughing at them, saying, why are you going to counseling already? You're not even married yet. And my brother said this. Sometimes he got the right answers. He thinks he's got them right all the time, but this time he said, we're going to counseling now so we don't have to later. And they still apply these things, these principles, though they're not saved. They apply these truths to their lives in marriage. And it helps them. Wives, please be biblical. There are a few verses for the wives, but there are a lot of verses for the husbands. Look at verse 25. Husbands, what are you to do? Yes, the wife is supposed to submit, and she does that in love. But you are to love your wives. How? What is the best illustration that God could give us when it comes to loving our wives? Well, it's right here. Even as Christ also loved the church. And what did He do? And He gave Himself for it. This love was lasting. This love is long-suffering. This love is unchanging. Husbands, your wife is to submit to you. But even if she does not, you are to love her like Christ loved the church. Remember, husbands, you can't control your wife. You cannot. There's only one person you can control. That's yourself. Love her. Love her like the gift that she is, that God gave to you. Your wife is not a rug. She is not your slave. She is not a trophy that you've won, so now you put her on the shelf and just every now and then rub on her. No. She is God's gift to you. She is your helpmeet. And you may say, well, she's not a good helpmeet. That might be some of your fault. Regardless, treat her like a queen. She doesn't respect me. That's not what the Bible says, is it? Treat her like a queen, regardless of how she is treating you. Your love for her should surpass everything in this world except your love for Christ. And if you truly love her, you will treat her like a queen. You will serve her. You will seek to meet her needs. Your love for her, again, is lasting. It is long-suffering. It is unchanging. And your love for her grows each day. This means that you don't put her down to others, to her, in any way. She's not the butt end of your jokes. She's your queen. And if anybody else is running her down, you want to go fight them in a sense. Don't go fight them, but that's you want to take up for her. You want to protect her queen. Christ gave Himself for His church, didn't He? That's what it says here. You are to give yourself for your wife. What did Christ hold back? He didn't hold nothing back. Nothing. Whatsoever. You don't put her down, you build her up. She's your helpmeet. She is the one by your side through the ups and downs. She knows your imperfections, yet she still loves you. You are to lead her closer to the Lord. Again, she is your queen. Husbands, how are we doing? How are we doing? Are there any husbands in here that need help? Amen. I do. As great as my wife is, and listen folks, I tell you, I've got the greatest wife in the world. And if you don't believe me, ask me, I'll tell you again. I got the greatest wife in the world. Alright? As great as she is, I need to do better. I need help. Amen. To serve her. We've been learning about knowing Christ, haven't we? Two ways. We know Him intellectually, first and foremost, is where it comes from. We also know Him experientially. Right? Same thing with a husband and a wife. We learn each other. Right? We know about each other intellectually, but we also know about each other intimately. And that grows. We go on to know one another. And let me say, it is hard for those of you who have a spouse who's not saved. It is hard. Because they're lost. They're living like this world. They are living ungodly lives. It is hard for you to do what the Bible tells you to do. Listen, whether it's a wife or a husband, either way, it's hard. But by God's grace, you can. And you win. Listen, wives, you win your husband with your quiet and meek lifestyle. Not boisterous, not loud, not demanding, not hollering and cussing and throwing dishes and knives. That's not how you win your husband. You love him. Husband, you can't win your wives by demanding certain things from her, for her to do. You also must love meekly. What is meekness? We know it's not weakness, right? Meekness is power under control. You've got to strive for one another. Marriage, again, is hard work. You've got to communicate. And I'm not talking about text messages. Amen. You got to communicate. You got to submit. You've got to serve. You got to forgive. Or any of y'all holding on to things that your spouse has done in the past that's hurt you? You keep bringing it back up? And you're living through that pain all over again. And every time you think about it, you just want to rip her or his head off. Figuratively. You're angry. That's because you have not forgiven. And it hurts you. I beg you to forgive. You say, well, she or he don't deserve it. Did you deserve it? Yet Christ did what? He forgave you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. Be like Christ. Don't be like the devil. Be like Christ. We all need help in all of these areas all the time. And I know there's so much more that could be said. But volumes and volumes of books have been written on marriage. Yet the Bible is pretty plain and simple. The Scriptures really sums it up. Look in verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, you, so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. This is God's prescribed way for marriage. Now I told y'all this morning that this was not going to be an easy message. It was not. Yet, it is very beneficial to hear these things. It is very beneficial to apply these things to our lives. When we examine ourselves by the Scriptures, how are we doing? I understand that we all fall short, don't we? We do. We fall short. Is God's grace sufficient? Does anyone here have a marriage that needs help? My hand's up. So, but I thought you just said that you had a great marriage. We do. We have a great marriage. Oh, yeah. But without God's help, that great marriage would become a horrific marriage. We continually need God's help every day. We do. Is our marriage biblical? More importantly, am I a biblical spouse? Remember, you can't control somebody else. You can't do it. You can control you. You know what's right to do, don't you? Do it. James 4:17, him who knows right and doeth it not, to him it is what? It's sin. Lord, help us. And He does help us. Let's pray.